This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is California Republican Congressman John Campbell, who represents the Golden State's 48th Congressional District. He's also a member of both the House Budget Committee and the Joint Economic Committee, and he's also with the Republican Study Committee, the Coalition of House Conservatives. They, along with the Senate Steering Committee, headed by Senator Jim DeMint, have come up with a $2.5 trillion plan to slash spending. That's $2.5 trillion in cuts, not spending, in order to get our fiscal house back in order. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Always good to be with you, Greg.
Certainly. An ambitious plan, and it needs to be given where we stand right now with a $14 trillion debt. The big chunk of this seems to come in clamping down on non-defense discretionary spending. Explain the different stages that you'd like to see this happen.
First of all, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. I believe, and joined by economists left, right, and center, in believing that the national debt that we have is the greatest threat to America's security, to our prosperity, and to our hegemony around the world. And that debt is caused by ever-increasing and persistent deficits. And we have to solve it, and we have to solve it quickly. We are closer to being Greece or Ireland or Spain than most people know. In order to fix it, we have to do three things. We have to grow the economy to increase revenue. Our revenues are down because people aren't working and people aren't making any money. It doesn't have anything to do with tax rates. It has to do with the growth in the economy. So we have to grow the economy. We have to reform the entitlements. The entitlement spending is still nearly 60% of all government spending. That's Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and others. There are other entitlements as well. We have to reform those. But then we have to deal with that other 40%, which in Washington parlance is called the discretionary spending. And that's what this specific proposal does. What it does is it, as you suggested, reduces $2.5 trillion in spending in this discretionary spending, which is about 40% of the budget, and we haven't touched defense in this, so that means we're really only dealing now with about 30%, or I think 25% of the overall budget here. So this is a start. This will not solve our fiscal problem, will not put us to a balanced budget, but it is one essential part of getting us there. And when you introduced me and you used the term slash and so forth, we are cutting spending. There's no question about it. We have to reduce it. But, you know, it seems like around this town, if you reduce something by 10%, you know, you're making draconian, unbelievable, drastic cuts, which is the sort of thing that private industry, private businesses, and individuals with their own budgets have been doing that and way more than that themselves over the last few years. And to me, if you're cutting 50%, okay, that's a slash. If you're cutting 5 or 10, that's not so much. But what we've tried to do here is not across the board, not some, you know, generic thing, but we've actually identified, I think it's roughly like 60 or 70 different specific programs to eliminate or cut back to come up with this number. And so we unveiled this and introduced this today and are hoping that this begins the discussion that will get us back away from the fiscal precipice.
We're talking with California Congressman John Campbell. And, sir, you mentioned a number of critical things there, so I'd like to follow up on a couple of them. Number one, you just mentioned that you've got about 60 to 70 specific ideas in here. I won't make you go through all of them, but just to give our listeners just a flavor of what type of programs might be targeted for reduction here. Obviously, it's anything not related to defense spending for the most part, but what are some of the things that are specifically on this list?
Well, we've got in here, I mean, the very first one saves $30 billion is to eliminate federal control of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which obviously haven't done very well recently. Then we get down the National Endowment for the Arts, $168 million to eliminate that. There is the U.S. Trade Development Agency that's $55 million. The federal travel budget, what we do here is we just say, you know, let's, and companies have done this all over the country, let's just reduce the federal travel budget by 50% and say that they can use telephones and use the internet and use these various devices where you can meet and not put as many federal employees on as many planes as we do now. That's $7.5 billion. We've talked about in here something reducing high-speed rail grants. Now, that's something, it's $2.5 billion, and a lot of that is going to my state, going to California, for this high-speed rail plan that I call the train from nowhere to nowhere, that is right now scheduled to go from outside of Fresno somewhere to somewhere close to Bakersfield. It won't even run as far as from Fresno to Bakersfield, but yet the federal taxpayer is going to subsidize this with billions of dollars of federal money. That kind of stuff is just not the sort of thing we need to be spending money on. Everything from that to the USDA sugar program to the United Nations, we subsidize the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and we don't think we need to be subsidizing the United Nations on that particular topic.
Congressman, the other thing you mentioned that needs to be addressed is entitlements. And just in the past few months, we've seen how dicey it is to try to make any sort of reforms there that would have any meaningful difference. We saw when the Debt Commission suggested many years into the future increasing Social Security eligibility by just a couple of years, members on both sides of the aisle were howling. During the health care debate, both sides insisting that they would never, ever touch Medicare. And of course, I know your side believes that the president's health care bill does that in a major way. But with so both sides so intent on preserving every last bit of the systems as they currently exist, how do you go about reforming them?
We have to touch them. And you're right. They have been the third rail of politics. That's one of the things we need to change. And that certainly is one of my personal missions over the next 2 years. Is in the past, you're right, what's happened is Democrats didn't want to cut this, Republicans didn't want to cut this, so we ended up cutting nothing. And who loses? The deficit, the debt, which is eventually the American people. There's strong lobbying forces for every federal dollar that gets spent, because somebody either gets that money, spends that money, directs that money, and they defend that. But there really hasn't been, until Tea Parties and other things, there hasn't been a strong lobby or a strong force saying, hey, what about the American people? What about this debt that we're all, that you're piling on all of us while you make all the rest of these specific interest groups happy with various things? And we have to get away from that. And we have to realize that we have to do something about Social Security, about Medicare, about Medicaid, or this debt will bring it all down. Because if we get to the point where the markets and a lot of foreigners that are buying our debt today no longer decide to buy our debt, and interest rates go up, and the interest on the debt goes up, and the economy sinks further, and we get into a tailspin that we probably can't get out of, and then all of these programs will go down, and that's what we want to avoid. So when people say don't touch Social Security or don't touch Medicare, my response is, well, then you want to wreck them, because they are both absolutely, actuarially unsound, and they will crash. They will end if we do not reform them. So if you wish to save them, then you better propose something to reform them, because leaving them alone is not the answer.
What is your sense, sir, on how much cooperation you might get from Democrats in the House, the majority of Democrats in the Senate, or even the president as he outlines some of his priorities next week in the State of the Union? Do you feel like this could be an area of common ground? Because obviously without it, it's going to be hard to get this done.
We'll see. Somebody said, relative to some sports thing, you make all the predictions you want, but in the end, that's why they play the game, because you don't know who's going to score more points till they actually play the game. And I think we don't really know yet, and we're just in the first inning here. We're at the top of the first, and we really don't know how this all is going to play out. But what we did today in the Republican Study Committee is, there's a group of us, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to be strong, and we're going to be vocal, and we are going to speak to the threat of the debt and throw out specific proposals, because in the past it's always been, oh, we have to handle it. Well, what are you going to do? Well, we'll get around to that later. Well, we're going to be very specific, and we're going to be specific on Medicaid, and we're going to be specific on Medicare, and we're going to be specific on Social Security, and this was just the beginning of that. So, and then we'll see. And we're hoping that we propose things that are reasonable and rational, and that are so much better than the alternative of letting this thing roll on, that hopefully we'll get more converts over time.
Well, it's certainly one of the major priorities of American voters that sent a very loud message and a very clear message, it would seem, in November. We'll see how the lawmakers on both sides react in Washington. Sir, thank you very much for your time.
I'm glad to be with you, Greg.
Thank you, sir. California Congressman John Campbell represents his state's 48th congressional district, member of the House Budget Committee, the Joint Economic Committee, and the Republican Study Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.